So after a consenting process and pre-registration, a tumor specimen is sent to Genomic Health for the assay, and within 7 to 10 days of the assay coming back, the patient is registered onto the next phase of the trial. For patients who have a recurrence score of less than 11, which we've defined as low risk for this study, those individuals are assigned to receive endocrine therapy alone because we know that they have an excellent prognosis with endocrine therapy. For those who have a recurrence score of greater than 25, they're assigned to chemotherapy plus endocrine therapy because we know those patients are deriving great benefit from the addition of chemotherapy. And for those who have a mid-range score, which can range from anywhere from 40 to 60% of patients, those are the individuals that we're randomizing to chemoendocrine therapy, which is a standard arm, after all, because we would have, remember, treated these patients with chemoendocrine therapy based on clinical criteria, versus endocrine therapy alone, which we regard as the experimental arm. So the trial is designed as a non-inferiority trial with the understanding that chemotherapy is the standard arm, and we're trying to determine whether subtracting chemotherapy is associated with a worse outcome.
One of the tricky things about this study is the patient has to agree that the decision about chemotherapy, whether to have it or not, really is going to be assigned by the computer. It's a random, I guess, 50-50 chance that they're going to get chemotherapy. How do people respond to that? It's kind of a little bit of a challenging situation, I think.
Well, unfortunately, randomization is the only way that we have in medicine to deal with situations where there is uncertainty about what the best treatment is. And here the problem is that we've continually layered on or expanded the indications for adjuvant chemotherapy such that we're treating a group of patients who really have a low likelihood of benefiting from the treatment. And so what we're trying to do in a very responsible and judicious way is to take this assay and use it to assign therapy in situations where we know the test is informative. And then for the remainder of the patients where the test results may not be informative, try and identify whether chemotherapy is really necessary in those circumstances. It is very possible that the benefit of chemotherapy is restricted to those individuals who have the high recurrence score. It's also possible that patients who have a mid-range score do derive some benefit. So we are trying to determine whether that's the case. My suspicion is that if there is a benefit in that group, it probably is going to be evident at a recurrence score that's in the higher range of the randomized group, and we need to identify what that range is.
What about Oncotype in patients whose tumors are HER2 positive?
Well, the results from the NSABP trials and from the commercial experience indicate that the vast majority of patients who have HER2 positive tumors have a high recurrence score, have an elevated recurrence score. So in that circumstance, doing a recurrence score may not inform you about what that individual's prognosis is because you know that they're going to have a high recurrence score even without getting the test. And that's not surprising because HER2 is one of the genes that's evaluated in the recurrence score algorithm.